power to destroy it. And so here today, we can't go through all the introduction, but we want to get to the points because, you know, it's important. So this morning, I want you to think about this guy with this withered hand. What I'm trying to get you to understand this morning is that in our society, we spend a lot of money, trying to determine why people are born with a birth defect. We spend a lot of money trying to determine why they some are born with a withered hand, or some why they don't have all the brain capabilities. In other words, I've seen horrible pictures where a little baby is twice the size because of certain things in his life born with, like the interrupted thyroid, things like that. And so we spend a lot of money trying to learn how God creates things, and yet we spend a lot of money, and guess what? Find out no answers. Today we spend hundreds of years trying to look into research, and yet we have no answer. We still go back to the same basis that people today in our society are born with birth defects. And yet we want to know that today, although that we spend a lot of money and we get no results, that there are some good things out there. There are some good organizations that are out there that are taking the money and they are inventing some good things. We think about those things as being prosthetics. Today, when we have our military soldiers, they have their legs blown off, or their arms blown off, or something. Today, we can go to those organizations and they can make them prosthetic feet or arms to help them and assist them for the rest of their life. But yet, we still don't know how or why people are born with defects. Here today, we look at this man. We don't know how old he is, but we know that he was born with a withered hand. And today, we can spend all of our time and all of our resources and all of our efforts in questioning, why does God allow these things to happen? And yet, we're going to come up with the answer, just like we all say to one another, I don't know. But today, I believe that God has allowed stories in the Bible, man with a withered hand, a man that is blind, so he can demonstrate the works of God in man's life. And I'm grateful that today that I can look back in my life and I can see the works of God when God gave me salvation. That was a very touching poem, Miss Virginia. And I relate it to every bit, amen. And so today, we need to think about these folks that are born with defects. Just here a couple weeks ago, I had a good friend come to the church to visit. And if you got to shake his hand, you would quickly notice that he was born with a withered hand. And I've learned to adjust my thinking and learn not to pick on him. And I was a cruel guy all the way up until, well, college. I was a phase, amen. And I remember, you know, I thought it was funny at that time until God smote in my heart and helped me to repent. I remember me and my friend Matthew were driving down the road, and he had a right hand, his strong arm. He's a right-handed guy, and he does everything with his right arm, and yet his left hand is the withered hand. It's not full extent. It's not the way he has a full arm and no hand, but he has little arm and just only a couple fingers on his hand. And I remember that one day we were riding down a road and he had his hand sticking out the window. And so I manipulated him. I talked to him. I got his attention while I rolled up the window. And there we were riding down the road. His hand was stuck. Couldn't go nowhere. And his other arm was too short. Now you might think that well, Pastor, you're really cruel. Yeah, it is really cruel. But you and I, we need to understand that because we don't have those birth defects, thinking that we are special and we are above all of that. Because we live things in our life that we have birth defects where other people don't recognize. And so, I think back on that as I'm relating this story to my life to bring out an illustration to you and I is that to think about in our hands, they mean a lot to us. Our hands help us and assist us in a lot of ways, just like our feet. We want to go somewhere, we get on our feet and take off. Amen. We find that we want to do something. We find that we communicate with our hands and we tell our hands to pick up that box and carry it over there. And we do all of that and we think about, we forget about how important they are to us. And so here we can learn that with our hands, they have their own language. They speak like we speak with our own lips. With the hands, we demand, right? With our hands, we promise, we call, amen? We call somebody to come over to us, amen? Or I remember growing up before cell phone call, hey, you got me? You know what that means, right? We think about, we refuse something, we understand what that is, amen. We deny something, have no part of it. So we do a lot of language with our hands. You know, in fact, some people say, hey, I even swear with my hands. They go to work every day, amen. You and I think work is swearing, amen. Where work is good for you and I. And so we might make these gestures, we might make these expressions, but we need to realize that we have strength in our hands to make the job successful. Amen. Can you imagine going and trying to pick up a box and you got no strength in your hands? They would be worthless. Amen. You know, God says a lot of things about our hands. Says a lot of things about the things that we have. And if we're going to remind ourselves, Matthew chapter 5, verse 30. He says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that whole body should be cast into hell. Jesus expressed a chilling importance to these people. And today, you and I, we need to recognize that perhaps the Bible is just as true as it was then as it is true as today. And you and I need to recognize that there are times that our hands perhaps may offend us. You may recognize that not only that he made mention of the hand, but he made mention of the eye. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee, for it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish. And not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. But you say, well, Pastor, I mean, well, what good is our hands? What good is it that we learn about our eyes and learn about our hands that if they offend us, then we aren't to cut it off? Will be a lot of folks tomorrow, amen, have no hands if you really took the Bible literal. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean? Your hands. My hands, my eyes, your eyes. There are times that they offend us. And I'm not telling you as a preacher to go and cut your feet off or cut your hands off. But you need to understand. You need your life to be exposed before God. That there are times when your hands and your feet and your eyes, that they offend the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of the things that you commit against Him. Here, we learn that this man's hand was withered. It don't say whether the right hand or the left hand. It just says that he had a withered hand. And so you can need to understand that this man only had half of the strength that was intended for his life. May I remind you or submit to you this morning that when your hands and my hands, when our eyes and our feet, when they offend us, they only give us half of the strength that we need. See, we need our hands, we need our feet, we need our eyes to get through this life. But God's trying to tell, trying to help us, to teach us that just as well as there is a description about our physical components, what the hand does and what it means and all of that, that there's a spiritual application that we should apply to every heart. The word withered here means, simply means to fade away or become dried up. So today, what is the message for you and I? Well, the message simply is that there are many folks today in God's church that perhaps don't have withered hands, but they have things in their life that are withered away. They are become faded away. They become dried up. And so we can learn these lessons and get back to what God is trying to teach us. That when you and I, when we allow our hands and our eyes and our feet offend us, it draws a lackness. It draws a leanness in the soul. And we are not where God wants us to be. Today, you and I, it would do us good to understand and determine the possibilities, what God is trying to speak to us. And so I'm not going to tarry a long time. I'm going to go through this. But number one, would you look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 3? I want to give to you this morning that the life of modern day believers are in withered conditions. See, you and I, perhaps we have all of our hands and our feet and our toes and all of our ears and all of that. We can hear well, and yet we come to church and we sing the songs about Jesus, but yet we still live in a withered condition. Number one, I want to turn 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, and I want to read just a few verses here to you. Starting in verse 1, would you look at it with me? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1, here the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, led of captives, silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." And so today, I want to bring to you just in a quick point, a short message to you this morning, that you and I today as modern day believers, that we live in a withered condition. Number one, here you can find that in the Bible that these people live with a withered condition. Number one, their natural intellect was withered away. They could not attain the inner meaning of what truth was. And today, you and I, we need to recognize what truth is, and we need to hold fast to that truth, and we need to stand on that truth, we need to practice that truth, we need to learn how to pray for that truth in our lives. Because if you and I get into a premises that we're worried about what everybody else is doing and learn not to stand for the truth ourselves, we'll be in withered conditions. You and I, God's given us to a special place, a special prominence in this church, because God has given us preachers that preach the Word of God. God has given us great women that will serve and keep the church. God's given you and I opportunities that we can go and exist in His presence and yet not live in weather conditions. But yet, here the Bible says these people, they have more of an understanding what God was than you and I do, because they were taught by Paul. Amen. And so today, these folks, they never came to the truth because they were always learning to follow what others said. Now, hold your place there. I want to show you some things here. Go back to our text in Luke. But I want to point out to you this morning what you and I will always deal with in our life. Number one, look at it with me. And in verse 2 of chapter 6 of Luke, here the Bible says, "And certain of the Pharisees said unto them, Why do ye that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath days?" Here you have the Pharisees. They're bringing some accusations to Jesus, like Jesus don't know what he's doing. You say, "Well, Pastor, what does that mean?" Well, go on with me in verse 7. The Bible says, "And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him, rather he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find accusation against him." Here it's done said twice, where the Pharisees, they have their eyes on Jesus, but they don't have their eyes on what Jesus is trying to teach. And I want you to understand this morning that you and I, we are in withered condition when we get our eyes on everything else and not really focus on what God is trying to teach us as individuals. And so today, we can ever be learning the truth, but yet never understanding the meaning. We can follow all these things and we can keep these things, what's right and what's wrong and all of that, and yet forget about what God's trying to teach us. So, Pastor, what are you saying? Well, I'm trying to get you to understand something. If you and I allow things into our atmosphere, allow things into our lives, and yet we forget about to pray for one another, we forget about to love one another, hey, there's not one time that I should ever bring an accusation to a brother unless he did that. Amen? I mean, I shouldn't go around being a police pastor or like a Borden Moores, man. Hey, you know? Well, I shouldn't go to Brother Don. Brother Don, now look here now. You got your hair too long. You ought to get it cut and get right with God. Amen? I shouldn't be a police pastor, amen. But nonetheless, I ought to be a pastor that preaches the Word of God, that preaches meaning, that preaches that God, He looks after those. Now look what the Pharisees did. Go to verse 11 with me, amen. Verse 11, it says, "And they were filled with madness and communed one another what they might do to Jesus." Boy, I'll tell you right now, I mean, the older I get, the more I find it's better to stand for Jesus. Amen? Here, they want to bring accusations. Now, and they want to commune with one another. What they're going? What do you think they're going to do with Jesus? Amen? Here is an almighty God. Eh? Amen? You believe that? Almighty God. He has all the power. Amen? And they're going to go up to Jesus like they're going to do something. Hey, man, we got 40 guys. We're going to take you out, Jesus. Hey, man. Listen, hey, man. Hey, you need to recognize who Jesus Christ really is in your life. Amen. You need to recognize that. And so here, these people, go back with me in 2 Timothy. Hold your place. Amen. Go back with me in 2 Timothy there. But here we find that their natural intellect, it was withered away. They could not ever learn the truth. Now, look with me in verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. They couldn't understand what it means, what the truth really means. And today I want to present to you that the Word of God is the very meaning of who we are. If it's not, then there's a problem in your life. And I would like to see you here at the altar, because I'll pray with you, amen. Amen. Today we need to understand that our intellects can be withered away. We might be able to present to other people that we're intelligent. And you may be intelligent today, amen. God bless you, amen. You might be intelligent, but you might not. You might be so intelligent that you might not understand what the Word of God is saying to you this morning. And so I want to help you, because modern day believers have come to be in a withered position. Today, second of all, look with me in verses 2 through 6 in 2 Timothy. It says, "For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good, traitors, hating-minded, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into houses and led captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. We not only learn that their natural intellect is withered, but their nature of their morality is withered. They cannot attain the rich blessings of the gospel because their moral nature is withered away. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. There's a whole list of stuff. A whole list of stuff that they were involved. You know, not one time that I ever seen them that they were involved in prayer. That they were involved giving their heart to God. God, forgive me my sin. Not one time you ever find here in this text that they were involved. There's nothing that had any content about who God or who Jesus Christ really was. It's about all these things that they were involved in. False accusers. You know, telling lies about people. High-minded, amen.
Oh, man, look at me.
Well, I'm somebody today, amen. I mean, hey, don't let we go through this in our church, amen. I'm just trying to get you to understand that modern-day believers, we walk around, we shake hands, and we let people, we let them know, hey, I see you today, amen. We do all of that, but yet we live in withered conditions. Why? Because we don't understand what's right. We don't understand what's wrong. You know, and so today we need to recognize that we are to be not members of our not men what does it say men, they were lovers of their own selves. We aren't to be lovers of our own selves. We are to be the lovers of Jesus Christ, and we are to be the kind of people that let people know about it and shout it and proclaim it. Amen. When's the last time you really were thankful what God did for you? When's the last time? Listen, folks, I don't care if you like me or not. I'm not here for a pretense. I'm not here for a paycheck, amen? I mean, I got many talents. God gave me opportunities, man, that I can go and make money. And I'm not worried about the money. But I'm here to tell you the truth that, hey, you and I, we need to recognize that when God does something in our life, we are to give Him praise about it, amen? I'm telling you right now, my little boy got squished in that door. I began to pray on God. God, I need your help. There ain't nobody that can help. Only you can help. And God, I know all these paramedics and all of that. I know they're here. But God, I know that you can take care of him. So I called on him. Amen. So today, I want to bring to your attention that, you know, we can be, we can lose right and what's wrong and forget about and not really recognize where we at, but yet we have a withered condition. God wants us to know our morality. God lets us, lets things happen in our lives so He can know, what our moral state is. Do you get mad at God or you cuss Him out when things don't go your way? I can't believe God do that to me. How dare He touch me like that. Amen. God lets things happen because He wants us to know what's in our hearts. Here today, you and I, we can be following a lot of things and yet not really follow God. Mark chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible says, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in choke the word and it becoming unfruitful. See, God doesn't want to be unfruitful. Fruit in your life. God wants to be, He wants to bring a fruit that's great to Him. Amen. You like biting apple? You like biting a nice juicy apple? And it has got a lot of flavor. It got a lot of taste. Amen. I mean, you're ready to fight over that apple. Your wife goes to bite. Man, what's wrong with you, man? It's my apple. Amen. You like that? Amen. You like something when it's good, when it tastes good. I mean, you get greedy about it. Amen. Well, you know what? You know, we get greedy about everything else, but we never get greedy about Jesus Christ. We got no concern. We got no love for Him. We're chasing all these other things and concerned about all these other things and never, never get greedy of Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, I'm telling you here today, man. You're not going to steal my love for Jesus Christ. I don't care if you like me or not. You can all get out and walk out, and I'm going to still go on loving Jesus Christ. Amen. I know what He did for me. Amen. I know what He meant to me, and I don't have to have your five-page essay. Amen. And you shouldn't have to have somebody's essay about what it is to serve God. Amen. You should know what it means to serve Jesus Christ. You should know what it means to serve Him. Amen. But you and I, we live in withered conditions because we're not willing to praise God. We're not willing to tell somebody else about their faults. We're not ready to go to the altar and pray for somebody over their sins as well as ours. And yet we learn to live in these withered conditions. So here, these folks, they live without natural intellects. They live without natural morality. Third of all, they live with an insensitive of sin. There was no sensitivity in their life. They didn't care about what sin was. They didn't have no recognition of what sin really was. And verse 5 tells us, in having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They had the opportunity to have the power in their life to do something mighty and great for Jesus Christ, but yet it was just a form. They had an opportunity, but they didn't thrive for it. Today, you and I, as Christians, as modern-day believers, we have an opportunity to do something in our lives, but yet we can't because we're so accustomed of living in withered conditions. Oh, it's okay not to pray. God only answers His prayer. He only answers your prayer when He feels that it's good for Him to answer His prayer. Bible says, pray without ceasing. You acknowledge that? Then you ought to be praying. Amen. Good or bad, you ought to be praying. You recognize that? Then you ought to recognize the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Amen. He has the right to answer the prayers. Amen. But yet, what happens in local churches, just like it happens in any other church, go with me and go back. Where were we? Go with me in 2 Timothy right there. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And look in the Bible with me here in these few verses. Verse 8 and 9. It says, now Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so to do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, and theirs also was. Now, in Exodus chapter 7, we learn what this Jannes about. Here is the only time that their names were mentioned. But you can go in the traditional law or the traditional history of the Jewish culture, and you can find these names and to find that where it was written down, that we can look back in Exodus. So turn back to Exodus, all right? Turn back to Exodus. I'll get that word speaking right here after a while, amen. Exodus, the second Bible, and look with me in the 7th chapter. Exodus chapter 7, and look with me in verses 10 through 12. And here we're going to read about these two men, rather their names were mentioned or not. But what you need to understand that there's a principle, there's something that is there that these men did that perhaps we can see in the church today. And so look with me in verse 10, chapter 7 of Exodus. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And so we're going to go through what the Lord commanded. And here it is. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. And Pharaoh also called the wise men of the sorcerers, Jannes and Jambres. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did like in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents, but Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Amen. Don't you like to hear that? Amen. But look at verse 13. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord has said. Now, folks, I don't want to take all day with you and all. And God bless what we've already experienced this morning. But let's get to the root of the matter. Amen. Here, you have these two men. And you find in these stories that what was happening in their lives. And we can go back. You don't have to turn there, but I'll go back and I'll read it to you. But verse 8 again says, Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also, here it is, resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. See, folks, you and I, we live in withered conditions because we as God's people, we resist the truth. We allow men of corrupt minds to live in our midst, and we'll follow them and not follow the man of God or the man or woman that follows the truth. And God says you're going to live in withered conditions. And so where are we at today? Well, we're at today is that we become to live in these withered conditions, and yet we question ourselves, is God on the throne? And I want you to know, folks, He is on the throne. And God will not bow down to nobody. God has did everything He possibly had to do, He wanted to do. He felt like He did everything it took. And today, your life doesn't rest in the hands of God. It rests on your decisions for Christ. Amen. Because here, we can amiss all the power that we want, but yet it comes to a point in our lives to where things have to change. Now, go with me back to Luke. Go with me back to Luke, because I want to drive this point here to you, and then we'll go home, and you take out Brother Hickey to lunch, amen, and he won't get mad and all. He'll be back here tonight worshiping Jesus, amen. But look with me in this chapter here, amen. Look with me in verse 8. I want to give this to you, and if this is the heart of the message, then God bless him, amen. Bless God, amen. But look with me in chapter 6, amen. You there? All right, then. Verse 8, it says, but he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had with a hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. And he rose and stood forth. Folks, we come to recognize that we as modern day believers, we live in a reality that the condition of the church is withered away. May it be because we live like we learned in 2 Timothy, all those days we're high-minded, we're false accusers, we're worrying about all these other things, we're not really focusing on Jesus Christ, but yet God gives you and I an opportunity. He gives you and I a decision. So here, Christ demands a decision in order for infirmities to be healed. All right, let me say it again. Christ demands a decision in order for infirmities to be healed. What is that decision? I'm glad you asked, amen. Look what the Bible says in verse 8. Here are the words of Jesus. Jesus speaks these words. What does he say right here? Look what he says. He says, rise up and stand forth in the midst. Amen. Now, what does that really mean? Well, simply rise up means to come to the surface, to ascend, to get up, go up yonder, go over there. Amen. What does it mean? Here, the Bible says, we got a little indication what it's trying to teach us. It says, rise up, stand forth in the midst. Here I am, Lord. I got up out of my seat. Here I am. I rose. Amen. But look what else it says. It says, rise up. And what does it say, brother Darren? Stand forth. Now let's look at what that means. And you don't have to look it up. I already did. Amen. It says, to assume an upright position, to be situated or located, to adopt or remain in a resolute position or attitude. Boy, I like that. Man, I could preach hard on that. Let me read that to you again, man. That just intrigues me, amen. To adopt or remain in a resolute position or attitude. Man, I can close my Bible, preach that the rest of the night, amen. And so here, Listen, folks, I don't know if you're getting the meaning of this. I mean, hey, as Christians, there ought to be some things that we are adopting into our life. Amen. Hey, the Bible says, rise up, stand forth. There's some adopting going on in our life. Amen. What's that adopting? Well, one day we weren't listening to Jesus Christ, but today we are. Amen. I've adopted some things in my life. And so here, I want to get to you. I don't want to take you all night, man. I know half the night, man. I mean, people are already sending notes. If you tell your husband to hurry up, I'll take him out to lunch. Amen. I got it. Amen. And so don't worry about it. Amen. But listen, just a few things. Amen. In every kind of man, there lies a spiritual infirmity. Oh, I wish you can get a hold of this, man. There lies an infirmity in my life. I mean, hey, I don't have to have my wife tell me all the sins of my life. There's something that lies in my life that I'm recognizing. I'm very aware of my failures and my sins. There's an infirmity in everyone. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm trying to tell you, we focus on a lot of things. We're focusing on everybody's infirmities, and we're not focusing on Jesus Christ. And so here we recognize that we want to understand that in every kind of man there lies a spiritual infirmity. Everyone wants to be healed from their infirmities. They want to live prosperous. They want to have good works in their life. But they can't learn and understand that this understanding of their infirmities, it lies in them as well as it lies in everybody else. We have too many TV preachers. Perhaps we may have folks in our church today that are so willing to listen to more TV preachers than they are to listen to their own pastor. And so here, these TV preachers, they preach on the premises of not having enough faith. What does that mean? Well, we don't believe in God that heals us. We don't believe that an almighty God has enough power, has enough something in his life to heal us. Well, that's the way we are. You say, Pastor, how you say it? We live in withered conditions. Listen, folks. You can't tell me that you sit here and you believe in Christ and you believe He answers your prayers and believe all of that and walk with around with a life like this. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I believe that if you just stop listening to TV preachers and start listening to the King James Bible believer preacher that God has given to you, I believe that some things would change not only in your life, but also change in the life of the church. Because there's a reality that God has given you and I a commission not to worry about how the flag is standing, not to worry about how everybody else is dressed, but to worry about is that person, is their soul saved? Are they right with God? If they're not, what can I do to help that individual to get right? That's the things we ought to be concerned about. But look what the Bible says here. Here, I want you to bring some. In 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hey, if you and I begin to get back into preaching of the Word of God and begin to live what the Bible says, what the Bible means to me, maybe then that's when things will change. And all of our witness will go away. Well, I'm not trying to preach anything hard that I haven't accepted in my life. God told me one day, Robert, hey, rise up, stand forth. Hey, rise up, stand forth. What does that mean? Come out from a sitting position. Come out from, well, some of you don't sit down. You lay down, amen. Now get up. Get out of your bed. Stop sleeping. Get up. It's time to go to work. Rise up, stand forth. That means to come into position. Here, I want you to know this withered man, what he actually did, amen. Hey, would you do me a favor? Would you entertain us this morning? All right? Would you do that with me? Watch this. Brother Mel, rise up. Stand forth. That means come forth. Right? That's exactly what it means, right? Did you know you just followed the scripture according to what it says? Now here's something you need to understand. Here, Jesus told this man to rise up, stand forth. And guess what? He stood before everybody that was watching. Amen. That's what God's telling you this morning. God wants to do something in your life, and He's not going to do it privately. Amen? He ain't going to do it privately. If you want God to do something in your life, and you got to rise up and stand forth, and guess what? There's going to be people watching you. There's going to be people noticing. There's going to be people recognizing. Well, what's that guy doing over there, man? What's he getting ready to do? Amen? Oh, you know how we get our eyes focused on everything else. Oh, man, look at it. God love. Man, how God have favor for him, man? He ain't nothing, man. He ain't got no talents. He's puny. He's weak. He's frail. He's old.
Amen.
He got the eyes on Brother Mel. Everybody got his eyes on. He's weathered. He's got a withered condition. He's got all these problems. Everybody's got their eyes on his problems. And instead of having their eyes on what Jesus is getting ready to do. Oh, I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you. There's something that you and I are to recognize. Oh, God tells you and I to rise up, stand forth. Amen. Oh, that's a call to action. That's called because, hey, I'm telling you right now, Brother Mel, let me hold close to you, man. Hold me close, amen, because if God's going to do something in your life, I sure want it too, man, amen. Have a seat, sir. Look what the Bible says. Look with me again in Luke. Luke, I don't know where we at, amen. Look with me there in Luke, amen. Luke chapter 6. Look with me in, where were we? Verse 8. The Bible says, and he knew their thoughts. You know, today God knows your thoughts. God knows what you're thinking about today. But you know, God was willing to look past the thoughts of the Pharisees and the scribes. He was willing to look past that. He's willing to look past your thoughts. Because what you need to do today is not focusing on everything else, but focusing on what God wants to do. Here, listen to this. Look with me in verse 8. But he knew their thoughts and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up and stand forth in the midst. You know, we could probably close our Bible today and say, you know, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I mean, we had great singing. We had a great testimony of our missionary. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. But you know, the Bible don't stop there. The story doesn't stop there. When you look at the story, the Bible finds out and it tells you and I that something else happened. I mean, there was a command, there was a statement given to an individual, and we could stop there, but that ain't where the story stops at. In fact, the Bible says, rise up and stand forth, and guess what? The Bible says, and the man rose up and stood forth. You know, before you can ever see God do something in your life, you're going to have to answer that call of obedience. What happens most of the time in churches, we want God to bless us right where we sit at. Oh, well, you know, the preacher, you know, he's preaching all right messages. And yeah, the Holy Spirit really convicted my heart. But I believe that God can do and change my heart. I believe that God can help me right here, right now. And we sit right there and never do anything. And you know, reality, really, really. We just go out the door thinking the same thing. We go out the door and after a while, we know that God touched our heart, but we go out the door and we just learn to live in a withered condition. And it's a tragedy for you and I. For the greatest opportunity that God's ever given to us is that we can serve Him with all of our heart. Listen, I want to show you this right here and we'll go home. Here, in every kind of man, there lies a spiritual infirmity. Before you can ever have your infirmities healed, you must come to an obedience to have an effective restoration. This man, in verse 8, he arose and he stood forth like Jesus commanded him. And because of that, because of his obedience, there was a restoration in his life that he could not explain. Can you imagine that? You can imagine that restoration that happened. He obeyed God. And what does the Bible go on to say? All right? What does the Bible go on to say? Look with me. Please look with me. In verse 10, and looking round about them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thy hand, and he did so. Again, you find the man obeying Jesus Christ. Look what happened. And his hand was restored as the other. You know, I'm going to close with this. Maybe you and I, we have become accustomed to living in withered conditions. We get where our prayers aren't being answered. We get where we just read maybe a verse a day, and it's okay that we don't really understand the meaning. But I got to read the Bible. I read a verse, you know, and we just get so used to living in this withered condition to where all we have to do is stop looking at what God is doing in the lives of other people. But start doing what he's trying to do in our life. Here, if you and I, if we follow what that man, that withered man did, if we follow what he did, he obeyed God, he followed the commandment, and because he did, his witheredness, his withered hand was restored. I don't know what that means for you, but I know what it should mean. It means that we should have a lot of people got all kinds of hands and eyes and feet and mouths that shouldn't be offending Jesus Christ, but should be praising him. Amen. Say, Pastor, how do you praise Jesus Christ with my hands? How do I praise Jesus Christ with my mouth? Amen. This feet. One day when you see Jesus, when you see Jesus face to face, he's going to look at you. How many souls you touched with your lips? How much comfort you spoke into somebody's life? He's going to look at you. What you did with your hands. He's going to look. Did you strike out in anger? Or did you give him a hand of love? The Bible says if you give your enemy a cold cup of water in his name, God's not going to forget that reward, right? I mean, we recognize this. And what are we doing with our feet, amen? What are we doing with our ears? What God has given to you. It's a responsibility into your life to rise up and stand for it. It's your responsibility to obey God in your life. Right? And so today, perhaps you want to stand to your feet and rise up. Rise up. Rise to your feet today. And as we rise to our feet, perhaps you may be a willing vessel to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. God tells us today that we are to come to him with our problems. As the pianist comes to play, every head bowed, every eye closed.